the excitement of me talking, or it could be a slow news day. I don't know. I have some things I'd like to say, and maybe slow news day would be cut in half. I'm not sure. We'll see what happens coming up in about 45 minutes time. Also, David Cooper, the segment David Cooper Ruins the Show has been canceled in favor of David Cooper Ruins the Entire Universe. That's right. So that's not to expect more. That's to expect less coming up in about 15 minutes time. But first, it's time for Advice Lady.
Well, hello, Jim.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm great. I'm always excited to hear your voice.
Well, it is fantastic to hear your voice as well. Advice Lady, we have a bunch of things for you, but I was wondering if you've been following the, because we're asking people at 71010 if they have judged, if they've passed any judgment on the Al Pacino story. And if people do not know the Al Pacino story, he is apparently responsible for a child that will be born within, apparently sometime in June, with his girlfriend who he met during the pandemic, who is a 29-year-old woman who was also dated, apparently, some people say it was just platonic, but with Clint Eastwood, and also has dated Mick Jagger. What's interesting to me, though, when you talk about the likes of this, because a lot of people, I think, when they talk about this 38-year-old Al Pacino with a 29-year-old woman, are thinking, not me necessarily, but if it's two consenting adults, about 54-year-old age difference, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, if it's between two consenting adults, then do what you want to do. But once you're bringing a child into it, I mean, they're setting this kid up to grow up without a father.
Yeah, you know what? Not to condone it, but there are tons of my best friend grew up without a father, and I don't know. He probably that's not like, hey, people don't need a father. I'm not saying that, but she comes from a rich family. And he's obviously rich. This kid is going to be fine. I'm devil's advocate now.
Sure, but I mean, it's one thing if circumstances happen that you lose your father at some point, but they're knowing that, I mean, he may not make it to this kid's first birthday.
Yeah.
So that's where I kind of go, eh. I mean, everybody, you know, they're saying, oh, she dates older. Well, no, yeah, but she dates rich.
That too, right? She does date rich.
Do your thing. But once you have a kid involved, then it gets a little dicey.
Maybe if we have any 83-year-olds, anybody over 80, guys over 80, would you want to date a 29-year-old and have a child? It's not a contest. 872-1010. Take the 10th caller through. We've got an 83-year-old here. Does anybody who is in their 20s want to be set up? This is not serious. So, but any 83-year-olds, 1-855-633-1010. By the way, I'm going to throw something at you that we didn't prepare for you, but I thought that it was interesting. The headline is that people decide within the first 20 minutes on a date whether or not there's going to be a second date. Do you think, I was like thinking like, okay, first 20 minutes, I guess it's the conversation. It's the way they look. Can you smell them? Are they slurping when they're eating their soup? Are they mean to the waiter or the waitress? All that kind of stuff. Can you tell within the first 20 minutes of whether or not you're, could you tell within the first 20 minutes if you and your husband were going to hit it off?
Yes, absolutely. And I'll do you one better. I think women can tell within that first date whether or not she's going to sleep with the guy too at some point. Women, in their minds,
you mean at some point that night or at some point in general?
At some point in general, because there's sometimes you're on a date and not only will there be no second date, you would never even consider sex. But there are sometimes when you go on the date, you're going, yeah, this is going to happen. I don't know when, I don't know where it's going
to
happen.
I think sometimes I don't even make it the 20 minutes when I'm like, when we're planning the date and I'm like, Yeah, I'm going to be on the streetcar passing your intersection at 6:45. Can you get on? Because that's how I'm rolling to pick you up.
Well, you know, not to borrow from another story, but if a woman sees you on the streetcar or on the bus and she sees fireworks, you know it's love.
Oh, what fireworks love? Yeah. That's the story. Apparently,
that's Oh my gosh!
Apparently, they've arrested a 14-year-old young woman on that story.
Really?
Insane. Here's the other thing, though. Anyway. Like in so many movies, and I mean, in so many rom-coms, at the beginning they hate each other. And again, those are movies, but I'm guessing that to a certain extent, that kind of narrative seems so popular that it has to have happened a lot in real life.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that kind of chemistry, whether or not the circumstances had you butting heads at first or not, unless there's some kind of chemistry or some kind of spark where you're spurred on by the other person one way or another, what would be the point?
What would be the point is a good point. Okay. Dear Prudence, everyone I date is jealous of my relationship with my ex-wife. I think if you're really, well, if you've got kids, that's like a pretty petty thing to do. But
sure,
I don't know.
They have to co-parent.
Yeah. And they're going to be around. I mean, like last night, did anybody see the final episode of Ted Lasso? I mean, don't get me started. But yes, I do think that can be problem. Well, no, I think, yeah, I got to be pretty secure in yourself to be able to date somebody who's still friends with their ex. But if there's a kid involved, you've got to get over it.
But I mean, I find it strange that it's everyone he dates has a problem. Well, what is the dynamic of the relationship? Are they like holding hands? Are they like buddy buddy? Are they like, you know, hugging a kiss goodbye? Like there are things in a relationship that kind of have to stop when you're not married anymore.
Well, I know a couple who don't date any longer, but they hang out all the time. And I'm just like, what are you guys doing? Like they'll date other people and then sometimes, but they'll hang out all of the time. And I'm like, why don't you guys just go get back together? And I can see where if you're constantly texting or talking to your ex, I can see how that can be a problem.
Sure. Your attention is elsewhere.
Yep. Very much so. Okay. Finally, why living with your parents in your 20s is becoming common. I don't see how young people can even ever afford to move out without, you know, starting to save when you're like 19 for your down payment and then move out by the time you're 30.
And what 19-year-old starts doing that anyway?
That takes
a very, very focused and very, you know, determined person to, you know, and disciplined person to do that.
Yeah. I have no idea, but I think, like, certainly I didn't start doing that, but I think perhaps we're living in a different time now where you might not have any choice but to. Are you ready for your kids to live with you until they're 40?
My daughter has already said that she's going to co-sleep until she's 35. So I'm assuming the husband and the kids are going to jump in there too. So I certainly hope not. I can see that it's hard because it really depends on the relationship. You really have to like your kid and they really have to, you know, like you and get along with you to spend that much more of their life with you.
I don't think I realized when I was living so I was working in Halifax in radio, and then there was a strike. It was a unionized shop. I didn't necessarily want to pick it, and I didn't want to cross the line, so I came back to Toronto for a while. Turns out they tried to buy out the union and break the union by paying everybody off to not return. I took that buyout, and I didn't realize how much of a pain in the ass I was living at home. Of course, your parents can't fall asleep until you come home at 3 o'clock in the morning, all of that stuff. Eileen, thank you very much for your time, Advice Lady.
Thank you.
That is another edition of Advice Lady here on the iHeartTalk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
recent study says younger people are more likely to believe in hell. And you are listening to it. Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Let's make a note that we got to get rid of that one, please. Sorry, Mark. It's not your fault. It's my fault. It's played for fairly way too long, folks. Sorry. That lovely Gregorius laugh.
Gregorius is like Gregorian, like from the old days.
I know. Gregorius laugh was mine. David Cooper is also here, though. David, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, Jim, thank you for your time, as always. A pleasure and an honor. It is the joy of my life coming in.
Do you ever sit back and think, I'm just not doing life very well?
All the time, Jim.
No, I'm wondering specifically, and I know it sounds like I set that up because I have a story. No, I just think you're not doing life very well.
Thank you, Jim. There's not a day that goes by, even when I've had a great day and the day has gone perfectly, that I don't think that.
I think that about myself, too. But I'm mostly joking, but I just think, like, sometimes I think when we're going to meet up, I'm like, oh, David is in New York City, probably always doing something interesting. And then we talk to you, and it's like, I'm going to clown school.
It's more like I stayed in all week and then I made a pizza at home. My life is not exciting, Jim. I gotta inject a little excitement somehow.
You look at this is not your first summer in New York. It's your second, no?
It'll be my third, actually.
Yeah, it'll be your third. Mm-hmm. When people come to New York and ask about tourist stuff, if somebody came there and never been to New York before, would you be like, oh, let's go to, you know,
Times Square, Statue of Liberty, Rockefeller Center, Empire State Building?
Hey, you're on your own, or you're like, oh, I'd love to come and show you around?
Well, my personal hell is Times Square. No matter how many times I go there, I'm still totally overwhelmed. I hate it there. I will not go there with friends, but I did recently go there with some Irish friends who visited from Ireland, and that was kind of interesting because they're from like a small town in Ireland called Limerick, of all places.
I mean, I've heard of it, and that's why I guess we've heard of all of the Irish, not all of the Irish towns, but...
It's not a hamlet. I mean, it's got to be 20, 30, maybe 40,000 people, but it's not a metropolis.
Hold on. Could somebody Google Limerick, how many people are in Limerick for me, please? Continue, David.
Limerick population. Wow, 95,000.
Never mind.
In New York, there's more than 95,000, I'll say this.
I guess if you round up, yeah.
Yeah, 95,000, 96, who knows. Them there, and then we were standing where all those street performers with the costumes go on their breaks, and it was like old dudes like smoking cigarettes with their like Mickey Mouse and like Elmo masks on their, like, holding them by their side.
Oh, that's really funny.
They look like they were in their 70s being like, hey, how are the kids, you know? It was just the one guy talking sounded like he ate cigarettes for breakfast, and we were just standing there, and my Irish friends were like, what is happening? On what part of the planet are we? Are we on Mars? It was a lot of fun, but I won't take Canadians there. I won't go with Americans.
Yeah.
I normally hate it.
Yeah. All right. What is planned for the weekend in New York City?
I don't know. Just seeing friends.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. The average person takes less than 20 minutes to know if there will be a second date. When you first met Miranda, did you think there were going to be a second date?
Am I allowed to say the S word on radio? When we met, we kind of met for sex, Jim. That's the S word. But yeah, we had met on Tinder. We exchanged filthy text messages. So like we knew that that was the direction it was going to go. I think the main thing was in the first 10 minutes, either of us decided, were we going to decide, no, we actually don't want to do this, which didn't happen. So that's not a good example, but other dates.
And so when you went on, I didn't know you guys met on Tinder. I just thought you met through mutual friends. And so when you did that, were you, so many people say when they meet on Tinder, that the other person misrepresents themselves. Was she like, hey, you're not 6 foot two?
That's exactly what happened. She thought 5'9". I don't think so. I told her I was 5'9".
No, you didn't.
Well, I figured I could be talked down to 5'.
Oh, you had those boots? Did you have those special boots?
Yeah, I had them on, but those only bring me up to like 5'7", 5'6". Yeah, I told her 5'9".
How tall are you?
I mean, I'm 5'5 and a half with my boots. I'm 5'6", 5'7".
Okay. And that I don't know, 5'9 is a stretch.
Yeah, I know. The thinking is then I'll be talked down to 5'7 or 5'8.
Did
which
she
is also
lie on hers?
No, she didn't lie about anything. No, this was in 2012, though. This was before Tinder became like a cesspool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were in San Francisco. It's where all the apps are sort of headquartered and launch and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. And so when you met, there was a chemistry and you knew it wasn't going to be like... that there was going to be no lie to get out of it. And you guys were like...
Yeah. I didn't hear you because I could hear Tony talking in the control room. Tony, can you turn that off in my ear? All right. What was the question, Jim?
Is it off?
I think it is now, yeah.
Okay. The question was, so you guys knew right away. Well, you were planning to have relations? Like you were like, hey, let's have a fun night and it'll lead to sex.
That was it. We went on a day. We went for a walk. She was living on campus with roommates. She was a bit younger than me. She was 21. I was like 25 or 6. We got a hotel room. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
It was not the nicest hotel I've ever stayed in, Jim, but yes, we did.
Why didn't you go to your house?
My ex, who I'd recently separated with, was there, Jim.
Oh, you were still living with your ex.
Yeah. Well, no, I was staying in a little apartment in, but yeah, was a separate thing, yeah.
I feel like I was asking way too many questions.
No, I'm happy to answer them. Other dates, though, I decide almost instantly whether I'm interested or not. Yeah, I don't know what that says about me, but, it's pretty quick. I feel like it's easy to tell. I don't know.
If there's chemistry, if they get you, that sort of thing. I think that's kind of true. Like, I think both of us are, and I don't know if this has ever happened, where you're like, you're being like sarcastic or you're joking around and none of it is landing and you're just like, I got to get the hell out of here.
I usually just keep on going when that happens.
I've witnessed that, yeah.
and I do it loud so I can get a little bit of an audience. Because clearly I'm no longer performing to my date. I'm hoping other people will overhear me thinking I'm a comedic genius for pushing this really far. I don't know. I know whether I have chemistry with someone almost immediately. I've decided whether I'll sleep with you or not. Now, me making that decision doesn't mean you'll sleep with me. 100 times out of 100, no one wants to sleep with me, but I know.
Well, we weren't trying to. I wish I had the audio of that time that we both challenged each other to go on. Was it Tinder? No, it was Bumble.
Bumble so, best friends. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
We should do it again. There's a feature on Bumble. Where I guess on Bumble, you can be looking for same sex, you can be looking for opposite sex, or you can also just look for a friend. Say you like just moved to New York City or Montreal and you're like, oh, I wonder if there's anybody who likes watching hockey because they like to get out and meet some people. And so you can go on and we both had to meet somebody who is just going to be a buddy. You actually met a person, hung out with them. I met a person who I might have cheated because they were not in Canada, but I did end up not meeting them, but we had Zoom meetings and Zoom beers a couple of times because that was the challenge, and that was quite fun.
Yeah, yeah. And I stayed friends with my guy. He ended up moving to London, England, so I'm not in touch anymore, but I hung out with him maybe 10 times, Jim.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? I found so on Bumble, you can go same sex. You can go, opposite sex. And then there's this friend thing. I still found that all of the, like a lot of the guys in the friend thing weren't necessarily looking for friends. It was just another way that they would meet guys because they were looking for a same-sex relationship and or hookup. Did you find that?
No, Jim. You must be more attractive to the fair sex.
All right. Do you have any thoughts on Al Pacino?
And his new wife?
Yeah, well, yes, we'll talk about that or not talk about that straight ahead on the iHeartTalk Radio Network. Hoo-ah!
What about an inquiry into how Richards got this job? Now that would serve the nation. It's News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
That one might need to be retired, too. I started, I had a good idea. Let's make these liners topical from the news. And then that day was like 3 weeks ago. I was like, we'll update them daily. And then I never wrote anymore. So that's where we are with that. If anybody cared, David was probably going to just ask me, where are we with that? Well, that is where we are, David. David, did I already ask you about Al Pacino? I think I did.
No, I mean, at the end of, before the break there, you said, what do you think? And I said, about his young wife. And you said, we'll be back with that.
Well, I guess girlfriend, but she's also, I don't mean this to sound like I'm shaming, but she's dated Mick Jagger and apparently Clint Eastwood. She's 29 years of age. Apparently comes from, like everybody would be like, oh, gold digger. Apparently her family has money. And now she's having the child of an 83-year-old Al Pacino.
Maybe she just has a thing for older famous men. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, thank you, Einstein.
I just mean people go to the conclusion that she wants money, and if that's not the case, that's the other conclusion.
But you're right.
What do I make of it? I don't care. That's my. It's I not don't... like I'm happy to talk about it. It doesn't bother me. Like as long as she's. You know,
it's nothing like not a judgment against either of them, although I guess it is. But the number one thing that I'm hearing, and I get it, is that, and who knows, she could remarry at a certain time, or maybe Al Pacino is going to be one of these guys running marathons when they're 110. I don't know, but people are saying that it's a selfish act to bring the child into the world. When he might, you know, be graduating from kindergarten without a father.
Yeah, but plenty of parents raise kids as single parents, either by choice or not by choice. So I don't know how much of a good argument that is. But yeah, it's a little odd of a pairing. I didn't even know when you were that old as a man you could get someone pregnant. Look at me. I'm no scientist.
That is a very good question.
Yeah, well, obviously.
No, not, yeah. I mean, well, I don't have any follow-ups. Well, I do, but. All right, let's go now to Tony, who is going to be the MC for Would You Rather.
Wow. I feel like we always have on our emergency cue sheet here, Would You Rather, in case we run out of things to talk about. We never actually get to it, but I actually like this game, so I'm excited we're doing it.
Well, I did have one. We had the, what is it?
We'll never get to it.
Zit Spinkler? Remember Zit Spinkler?
Oh, yeah. That's men who pee sitting down where I'm a Zit Spinkler. Yeah.
There is one urologist that says it might be the healthier thing to do. Not there's one urologist. I mean, at least they found 3 out of 4 dentists. I'm sure it's more than one urologist.
Is this like they find one evolutionary biologist in 100,000 who's like, oh, yeah, the Earth is 5,000 years old and evolution is false. Is this like that kind of urologist?
No, it's like during the pandemic where somebody's like, why aren't you talking about the one doctor who says this? It's because I'm following the million others who don't say that.
Yeah.
It's like...
is this a renegade urologist?
Yeah, the renegade urologist who won't sleep until everybody's sitting down urinating.
Yeah, the bad boy of urologists.
Exactly.
He's got the controversial opinions in
he
the urology
walks into
community.
The office with like wrestling music, like a walk-up thing. It's like, who do we got next?
And then there's fire.
He slowly walks in.
Pyrotechnics.
Please take off your pants right now.
What's burning? Not the sensation of your urine coming out of my motorcycle.
Yeah, and everybody's like, "Who is that guy?" It's the guy who wants you to sit down. Well, wait a second. It must be pretty manly now, and no longer Zitzbinkler. Gesetzbinkler is a derogatory German term for men who are, I'm guessing they're questioning their manlyhood, for sitting down. But the renegade urologist,
whose name was Hans Sitzpinkler.
Yeah, well, I wish I could find the Sitzpinkler.
Oh, man. All right. I really want to meet a renegade urologist. That's
renegade
my favorite
urologist.
Person who ever existed. If this person does, in fact, exist.
They're married to a renegade OBGYN, I'm guessing. All right. Tony, what do you have for Would You Rather?
David and Jim, would you rather look at your mom or your dad's internet search history?
Oh, that's easy. My mom. She barely knows how the internet works. There's not going to be anything bad there. My dad, I don't want to know what he's getting up to. I just don't want to know.
I think I'm the same. My mom would be like, I'm already shocked at my mom's search history because I'm like looking at it and it's like a Newsmax, Breitbart.
Oh boy.
America won.
It's not nude male model of handsome bad boy urologist.
No,
your mom isn't searching for that.
It's The Blaze, which is Glenn Beck's.
And she go looking for scat once because she asked what kind of music
that was. Yeah, that's true. We were listening to, I think, Sirius Satellite Radio, and I think we had, I don't know, the 40s on four, and it was like Ella Fitzgerald doing like scat, you know, beat a beat a beat up, bop bop ba doo. And she's like, what is this music called? I like it. And I think I said it's called, she said it's called, no, I said it's called scat. And she's like, I'm going to look that up when I get home. And I was no, I don't think you are. I'll find you some scat, mom. I know more, unfortunately. No, I don't know about that. I just know that what she might find, and I wanted to protect my mom. And that's one of the reasons I would never introduce my mom to the bad boy of urologists.
Hans Zitzpinkler.
I don't think there's anything bad on my dad's search history either, but if I had to pick one, I'd pick my dad.
Okay.
All right.
So would you rather, Jim and David, have every third thought you have be out loud or never be alone no matter what you are doing?
Oh, wow. You want to take this one first, Jim?
Sorry, say it again. Never be alone?
Yeah, no matter what you're doing, you'll never be alone. Or have every third thought that you have, all those bad thoughts you have about your producers.
Every third thought I had out loud.
You do that anyways.
Do I? Horrible person.
I'm the same. I blurt out so much that I shouldn't anyway, but I value my alone time more than I value, I don't know, not offending people.
Okay, honestly, Tony, like, how awful am I to work with? Like, seriously, tell me how.
Would you rather work with Jim Richards or the bad boy of urology?
No, yeah, exactly. No, who at this station is easier to work with? Is there anybody at this station easier to work with? I don't know. Maybe there is.
Jim, I've said this on air a million times. I love you. You're amazing to work with. I feel privileged
I am very difficult
every
sometimes.
Day. And I love joking with you
okay,
like this.
Because right.
I know
all
how
right.
much
didn't
like,
seem like
you're
going
to go home and think about it all night.
Nope,
and honestly,
exactly. My third thought out loud is, what an a-hole. That will be my third thought out loud.
And then
yeah.
he'll put a cigarette out on his own urethra because he's the bad boy of urology.
Yeah. All right, David, anything you want to tell us about your podcast? You've got 2 seconds. No.
No, yeah, just head over to Jew.pizza. We got episodes coming.
All right. Thank you very much, David. Enjoy your weekend. I appreciate that. Well, David, is David going to be here tomorrow? Are you going to be here tomorrow, David?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I will not be here tomorrow. Richard Krause will be filling in. A reasonable facsimile of Slow News Day is next on the iHeart Talk Radio Network. to find the most useless news stories and awful audio, it is time for Slow News Day. In a moment. But first, a couple of things that we wanted to clear off that we didn't have time for earlier today. Today is flip-flop day. It was meant to celebrate people who in the summertime like to watch wear the flip-flops, but I've turned it into your favorite politician who has...
Flip-flopped.
That's John Kerry. I think in my mind, he was the first accused of doing this. That would have been a while ago when he was running for president up against George W. Bush. Here's what I would... let me say what I wanted to say about flip-floppers a little bit later on. Of course, John Kerry didn't win that election. George W. Bush did, who within 2 days, no, 1 day here, pulled a pretty epic flip-flop. This is going back a while.
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense. Now, after a series of thoughtful conversations, Secretary Rumsfeld and I agreed that the timing is right for new leadership at the Pentagon.
That was within 1 day. But more recently, we've got great flip-floppers like... What about Doug Ford?
We will open up the Greenbelt, not all of it. We're going to open a big chunk of it up.
And then when the election rolls around...
Unequivocally, we won't touch the Greenbelt. Unlike other governments that don't listen to people, I've heard it loud and clear. People don't want me touching the Greenbelt.
But here's what I would say about flip-flopping. And it doesn't apply to Doug Ford in this case. But quite often... You have one set of circumstances that will present itself. You'll go through the facts and you'll have an opinion. And then when new information becomes available, it would be stupid to double down given new information that would change a reasonable person's mind and say, I still believe what I used to believe, given the fact that circumstances, facts, and perhaps history had changed. So sometimes... I don't think there's anything wrong with being a flip-flopper.
I've flip-flopped, flip-flopped.
And a couple of weeks ago, you know what? That's it. I am tapping out. I had one more story I wanted to do, but I'd rather get to Tony and Slow News Day.
Air New Zealand will start weighing passengers before they board the airplane as a way to measure data and gather weight for information for flights. It's a good thing we have audio because I messed that up.
Hello, sir. Welcome to Air New Zealand.
Thanks.
Before you can board the plane, please step on the scale.
Okay.
Sorry, one at a time, please.
Huh?
Just kidding. However, you may want to consider eating more salads. Have a nice flight, Tubby.
What?
Thank you for flying Air New Zealand. Next.
Air New Zealand, that's tough. I gotta say, although that was a fine interpretation from some people who are trying to make fun of the headlines, I do think that it's clearly a news story because apparently more and more airlines are looking to take a look at some of that stuff.
Somebody filmed a Karen screaming unintelligible stuff at a Starbucks staff, and the employees just don't seem to know why she's upset.
It is not illegal to yell here. Excuse me, ma'am. You are helped when you are visiting the city. Would you please ask your family?
I do think it would be a fun... Okay, she's still going. I do think it would be a fun game to play like Karens yelling at each other or Kens or whatever you want to do and have people call in trying to discern what the heck they're angry about. It's probably because somebody is a color other than the color you are, I'm guessing. 9 times out of 10. Next.
A Canadian bakery owner finds herself laughing after watching the security camera footage of a thief breaking into her business. Here is the owner of Something Sweet, Emma Irvine, laughing as she gives a play-by-play of the ridiculous break-in.
Kicked the door in, walked around, sat down for,
quite a long time. He realized, I guess, that he had made a mess, and he grabs a mop and a mop bucket and goes to try to, like, clean up all of the glass from the door that he kicked in. After he's cleaned up as much as he can, he walks out with 6 cupcakes and goes on his way. And, you know, it turned it from this, like, kind of not so great experience to some of the best laughs I've ever had. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up.
It's funny, it's on one of the news channels right now, and I'm seeing it as I speak. So he got away with, what, 6? But he's still broke and entered, so a break and enter. Okay, it's news. It's interesting. He's actually, like, cleaning up after the mess that he made. But, all right, what else you got, Tony?
Imagine strolling down a sidewalk, still wearing your cap and gown after graduation, and hearing many people congratulate you. That's what happened to this Russian student at a university in Colorado. She was amazed with the kindness of Americans, and she posted it.
I can't put into words how amazing Americans are. I'm just walking back from the university I graduated, and everybody, every single person passing by, they say, congratulations, or like, woohoo, you rock. I'm like, what? It's just so priceless. Before coming to the United States, I always heard how Americans are so fake, and all the smiles are fake. But I don't know, it's so real to me.
That's fantastic. That's a nice story in the face of all of the terrible things that are going on. I wonder what they would have known if, like, they, I don't think they knew she was Russian. I'm not saying, I'm clearly not saying, I don't think anybody should be mean to people who have a Russian origin. But I think some people might be if they knew she was Russian. Nobody should take out, nobody who is here in Canada and or in North America or in the West should be blamed for anything that Vladimir Putin is doing, is my point.
Ed Sheeran hit up a brewery in Atlanta where he played some songs and covered the bar tab for an hour. Here he is, surprising people as he worked behind the bar, and then he hit the beer garden stage.
Great stuff.
Right, I'm going to go in and play a song.
For 1 hour, drinks are on me.
Dancing with my eyes closed. Everywhere I look, I still see you. Oh, I keep dancing with my.
Enjoy the free beers.
That's a nice story. Ooh. There was, Bruce Springsteen didn't buy beer for everybody in a pub, but he was in a pub in Ireland recently where he was doing a very, very, very small sing-along of Hometown? Something? Anyway, it's not important. Do we have any kind of consensus on what the worst audio we played was today? Huh?
I'm going to go with the Canadian bakery owner and the guy that broke into her store.
I'm going to say we don't play anything. I don't think anything was that outstanding. Sorry to people who love to hear us play the worst audio sample all over again. Hey, thank you to Rachel. Great job, Rachel. Thank you very much. Thanks to Mark. Thanks also to Tony. I'm off for a couple of days. The talented and charismatic Richard Krause will be here. Go Braves.